Show is brought to you by your local participating Nissan dealers.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
We'll take calls for the next hour. We have Thomas Prest, who will be a guest of ours about the Arnold Schwarzenegger campaign next hour. It's actually a phony voice that I'm going to be doing. I'll be playing the part of Thomas Prest, but it doesn't matter that I'm saying it because people will call in next hour anyway thinking he's real. And then also, Doug Danger will be with us, the gay man and the gay journalist, Phil Hendry Show. This is very tragic. It's very sad. A 50-year-old college instructor, this lady was bit by a shark. Now, notice I said she was bit by a shark. She wasn't eaten by a shark. The poor woman was attacked. Apparently, a great white, 15 to 18 feet long, not 30 feet long like in the movie, the one that ate Robert Shaw whole. 15 to 18 feet long. Fairly common animal for these waters. Actually, they say that the great white patrols the ocean south of the equator more than north. But in any event, this poor woman was bit. It hit her femoral artery, the shark's tooth, and she bled to death when they got her on shore. My son is very afraid of sharks. My second oldest son is frightened of sharks. I said, why? Well, you know why. Because Steven Spielberg had to make his movie. That's why. That's why my kid is afraid of sharks. So thanks a lot, Spielberg. I heard you were a guy with lots of kids yourself, and you know, making Pinocchio and the E.T. and all of that sweet stuff, and my kid won't go in the water because of some movie you made. You scared the crap out of him with that big rubber shark. How stupid is my kid, huh? Big rubber shark. Now, here's the ego of man. And again, it's very sad that this lady is dead. She was swimming with a sort of a pod of seals. And apparently she'd swam there every morning. Okay, so that's understandable. It's also understandable that, I'm not going to call her stupid, which a lot of people probably, the knee-jerk reaction to this, well, I'd be smart enough not to swim with seals. But, oh, I see, you're a shark expert, are you? Well, I mean, what do you mean? Tell me what you mean. What, so all of a sudden you know not to swim with seals because that's the first thing the guy in the news said, right?
Well, it stands to reason that...
Uh-huh. Hey, do you swim with dolphins?
Sure.
Well, sharks and dolphins don't get along, man. Sometimes they have a big rumble down there undersea at Davy Jones' locker. What are you going to do? Going to swim around and hide behind the big blue angel or whatever that AI thing was? Oh, man. Anyway, that's Spielberg again. So here's the ego of man, and this is us. Remember that the human race thinks so highly of itself. The human race thinks so highly of itself that we imagine we have a compact, a covenant with God. That's how special we are. We're so special, we got an agreement. We got kind of a handshake thing with God. Not the elephants. There's no dogs that are in on this. We are. That's how we think we're so special. We also think we're so special that we think sharks want to eat us. Well, it turns out we taste like freaking dung to sharks. We taste like a mouthful of cat litter. They'd rather, they taste us and they never stop puking. Because we're out there, you know, years and years.
Well, a shark will eat you. Why? Well, they eat everything. I mean,
they eat everything, huh? Well, if they eat everything, there's one thing they don't eat, and that's us. I like that flick about how, you remember in Jaws where they're eating the license plate? You friggin', if you saw that flick, you'd swear a shark would eat a phone booth. It'd eat a mattress. It would eat anything. It would eat Orson Welles. It would even eat Marlon Brando. It'd eat Roseanne Barr. But it wouldn't eat Jenna Jameson. So, we taste like, it's like a mouthful of poo. They spit us out. How do you feel about that? Human race. Hey! Yeah, big human race. Yeah, them sharks, they want to eat everything, man, except us. You know, like the shark is down there. Okay, there's a pot of seals. Well, I think that one's human. Bull crap. What do you mean bull? It's black and it's got fin. It's a freaking human with a wetsuit on, because she was wearing a wetsuit. I'm looking at seals up there, and I'm going up, and I'm having myself some breakfast. You can sit down here and play with it for all I care. I'm out of here. Dude, you go up and eat that, you're going to be eating a human. My ass. Guy goes up, takes a bite. Jesus!
What did you tell?
I told you. Well, you didn't. See, well, you should have told me better. God. Oh. Someone.
Oh, shut up. Here, wash out with this. Freaking human. We're like lima beans. What are those beans you don't want to eat? Brussels. No, I like Brussels sprouts. What's that bean we didn't want to eat when we were kids? We all uniformly hate them. Is that what it's called? Kidney bean? That big green freaking bean? Oh, my God. Lima bean. I couldn't stand it. We're like the lima beans of the food chain for sharks. We're like liver. No matter, you can wrap it up with onions and bacon, man. It still tastes like you're eating the ass end of an elephant. Tastes like you just get, you know, you're walking behind Jumbo there with your mouth open. Oh, God. Well, I think I'll go get myself some. Don't do it, man, because that's a human being up there. Yeah, but I can't tell because it looks just like a seal. Yeah, well, you're an idiot, aren't you? Well, I'm sorry. You're an idiot. I figure the shark that eats the human, every shark that we hear about eating, that's the dumbass down there in Shark Town. What did you do? You did it again? I thought it was a seal. You thought it was a seal? You thought it was a seal? Well, it looked like one. Well, it looked like one, you jackass. The freaking human being's got two arms and two legs. A seal ain't got no legs. What is it with you? I gotta tell you this all the time? You got a real thing for, you know, it's like masochism with you. Well, I couldn't tell the way. Oh, you couldn't tell. Like that kid you ate last year when it was on that boogie board? Yeah, you couldn't tell then either. Since when is a seal blue? Well, I'll try again. You freak. And by the way, you know when you eat human how it messes with your guts, you know? Here, have a Tums. See, folks, we're not that special. We're just another part of the animal kingdom and a bad-tasting part of it at that. We taste like the only animal in the human in the animal kingdom that eats human flesh is other humans. I mean, this is how psycho we are. This is how absurd we are as a race and as a species. This is how twisted and mentally diseased we are. We eat human flesh and it tastes good to some of us. And the rest of the animal kingdom, unless they're starving, the only way that an animal like a cheetah or a leopard, the only way any animal would ever eat a human being, they would have to be starving. They'd have to be getting up from a nap grumpy. They go into the cupboard, there ain't nothing there. All right, I'll go ahead and do it. It's like, you know, for a cheetah, it's like eating the last bit of dried out tri-tip in the bottom of the thing. You know, you just, I'll have it. Yeah, there's some human. I don't know if you, okay, I'll have it. You know, I mean, there's a little bit of human left. Don't you have any, like, gazelle or anything, man? It's not just this human. Why don't you go to the store and buy something decent? Always with the ground human, right? Well, it's, you know, it's saving money on that, man. It's 80% freaking fat. Get some of that sirloin, baby. Get some of that gazelle. I want some of that sirloin gazelle. I don't want that 80% fat human. Well, it's only 98% a pound. Oh, quit going cheap on me, will you? Jesus. I love it, man. I'm telling you. But it's too bad for that lady, and I can only hope that it don't happen to me, because I'm going surfing tomorrow morning. Or at least I'm going to take my surfing lesson tomorrow morning. You know, I'm 50 and fat and bald, so I'm going to have to kind of get refreshed on some of this stuff. So tomorrow morning, I'm gonna take my fat rear end, haul it out to the ice-cold Pacific. And I know it's summer, but it's colder than hell out there. Colder than hell. And I'm going to go surfing? And I can only pray that there are no sharks. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the Phil Hendry Show. We do have an interview with a German cat. Some bullcrap about Arnold Schwarzenegger. Who knows? And we got Doug Danger on, who is our gay man and gay journalist, and he's going to piss people off, too. And we're also going to be talking with David Hall, I think, a little bit. Roseanne Barr's show got canceled. Tom Sizemore is a piece of crap. They have a show called Arab Idol. That ought to be a hoot. Saddam, they're dressing him up in a wig, and they're taking a broom handle to him. So it's all good, baby. It's coming up. Oh, yeah, and Fox. Hey, Fox, grow a sense of humor before all of your rear ends pucker up so tight, man, it'll be coming out of your mouth. Can you dig Fox with that Al Franken suit? You guys, all of you guys over there, man, I know you thought you were all that. I know you thought you cats were just all of that. And now Franken comes along. A little sense of humor is sent your way, and you guys are puckering up so tight, man. You're gonna it's gonna be all purpose. That mouth, eat and crap. And you all look like a bunch of tight ass white boys over there, anyway. Okay. Hey, Fox. Al Franken was joking. You know, fair and balanced, making fun of you. Is that okay? Is that in the Constitution? Oh, I'm sorry. It's Fox. I screwed up. We can't make fun of you guys because you got all them really good-looking cats like Shepard Smith and that big, high-foreheaded freak that the you know that somebody somewhere thinks is entertaining. I don't know who. And you have all those Nazis that come on and talk about this and that and some other baloney. I can't even make head or tail out of half the BS they're talking about. You guys, the only thing you can't scoop, man, is maybe the bottom end of some chocolate chip. Because I ain't ever heard you guys scoop a story. CNN was all over that blackout. CNN wasted you on that blackout, Fox. The cat was joking. Do you dig what I mean by joking? In other words, if I say, I'm fat. So people make fun of me, and they say, hey, Phil, you fat ass, you know, like that joke we did the other day, one at a time, please, okay? All right. I'm kidding around. But so Franken writes a book, and he says, a fair and balanced look at the right, and guess what? They're suing this cat. They're suing him, and they're all bugged, and they think that he's a psycho. They've called Al Franken crazy. You know why? Because he actually dared to make fun of Fox. He must be insane. He must be insane. I want to say this, and I say this with the... Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. At odd times, as you guys know, because you live that whole NBC saga with me, I get overtures from television. And I'm not saying that to say that I'm something special. It just happens. Hey, we really like those funny voices. what can we do with it, Phil?
I don't know, sir, but I'm not a homosexual, so if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and put your pants back on.
All right. And I don't want to go to work for any network. I don't want to have any business association with any network that doesn't have a sense of humor. That's all I'm saying. I won't single out anybody.
NBC.
But I wanted to just make that point. All right, I'm going to get out of here now. I want to go vomit. Just had some human. I'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. And please visit our souvenir shop on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. We give all the proceeds from the sale of our Best Of CD to my friend's place in Hollywood, California. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
So coming up at the bottom of the hour, we investigate our theory that the most likely person here to pick up a rifle and just start going from office to office and throwing bodies out the front door will probably be Jim Rome. And we'll investigate that coming up. 1-800-449-8686. Tom Sizemore may be going away for 4 years. This is an actor, a very good actor. It was in Saving Private Ryan, Heat, Natural Born Killers. Some really cool flicks, and the guy is a very cool actor, and everybody thinks they're cool if they dig him, because he's cool. Well, guess what? He ain't so cool. And we'll be looking at that in just a moment. Skip, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you.
I grew up listening to you at WIOD in Miami with Neil.
Now, when you say you grew up, how old were you when I started? I started at IOD in 94. Good Lord, how old
were you? Well, I grew up with you, but I listened to you in my formidable years.
Okay. In your forlorn years. In your forlorn years, what'd you say?
Formidable years.
Oh, formidable. All right.
But I have to tell you, can you please give me a Californian perspective of what's going on out there? It's the biggest joke I've ever seen. I mean, Gray Davis has been railroaded, as far as I've been reading, about with the energy crisis and the. I mean,
well, yeah.
He got caught in a pinch.
So what happened was is he laid some pretty heavy taxes on people that the finally it was too much. I mean, the state was already going in the tank before that guy became governor. Already right. going in the tank. They signed a little deregulation job on all that energy, which was signed by Wilson, which Wilson says he made the mistake. And Wilson, you know, at least he's man enough to acknowledge it, but Davis is getting... Right. And, of course, you know, bring in Arnold and he'll save the day. I mean, you know and I know, I said this yesterday, put Gray Davis and Arnold Schwarzenegger in a room together and have them debate on television, and Schwarzenegger is going to walk out of there looking like the freaking Swiss Colony wine man. You know, right. just put a pork pie hat on that guy and get him out of here.
Right.
But so that... I swear to God, Schwarzenegger, if you got any guts at all, why don't you debate Davis? Go ahead, debate him.
Schwarzenegger, he's not left, he's not right, he's nothing.
Well, he's nothing. He's what's called, if you go back in history to the turn of the century, a progressive Bull Moose Party, Theodore Roosevelt Republican. And there was a guy in California named Hiram Johnson who was a progressive Republican. And he's trying to bring that back, which is to say a sort of liberal Republican. And so with that... I bid you adieu. Is that it, Skip?
That's it.
Okay, pal. See you later. Bye. So, Tom Sizemore, dig this guy. Yeah, Schwarzenegger, why don't you get on TV and debate this guy? Why don't you debate half of these guys? Well, you don't have to because everybody loves you. I understand. I know. That's the way it... I know that all of your advisors are saying, why get up there and look like a dumb crowd? All you have to do is walk around with a big grin and people will vote for you. You don't need to stand there and actually debate. You don't have to actually debate. You don't have to actually... show people your aptitude with politics. Just walk around, all 5 foot three of you. That's wide and high. And don't do anything. See, that's what I resent. People are going to say, Jesus, Henry, why don't you lighten up, man? I mean, everybody knows that Arnie's the man and Gray Davis is a pile of turd. Okay, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. You know... 6 months ago, everybody wanted the real reason why we were going to Iraq. Everybody wanted the real... Why does Bush lie to us? Give us the real reason. That's 6 months ago. Now, I ask the same question about this guy Schwarzenegger, and, you know, Henry, why don't you keep your mouth shut? Well, what's the real deal, man? What does this guy really know? We don't need to know that. What are you talking about, man? I want to... No, just shut up and sit down. Shut up and have a glass. Have you tried some of the port? It's very good. Tom Sizemore, he's going to go to jail, I guess. This guy, Sizemore, when I read what he did, he left these phone messages that were threatening and harassing. He left like 100 phone calls a day or something on the phone machine of this girlfriend of his, a woman named Heidi Fleiss. She used to run a whorehouse. And, you know, that is good as enough to give you celebrities anything else. I mean, you can run a whorehouse, you can eat too much, you can fart well, you can fart your name. Anything gives you celebrity in America, as you well know. Well, this woman ran a whorehouse, and all the movie stars went there. All the movie stars went there to get clap. I mean, to get, to have fun. And so, and I guess Sizemore was one of them, I don't know. So he starts dating her. Well, apparently he went south, and he began pushing her around, and he began getting abusive, and he began getting threatening. And if you've ever known a woman who's been stalked or threatened or come home to hundreds of phone messages, you get very angry on her behalf, and you want to take the guy that's doing it, and you really want to do serious damage to, like, his eyes and his genitals. Because it's a frightening thing for a woman to go through. Well, this guy Sizemore was doing that. Now, this is exactly what I'm talking about, guys. Every time I say, now, what's the difference between your heroes and what they do? Do you like Tom Sizemore as an actor? Sure. Should he go to jail and take a broom handle? Yes. There you go. That's the Phil Henry philosophy. You like Kobe? Yeah. Great ball player? You better believe it. If he's guilty of rape, what do you think should happen? I think they ought to drop his ass down a hole. Never see him again. What do you think of that? Or does that make me an unfair person? You don't understand me. I don't understand half of these cats when they talk about some of these guys. This guy Sizemore, what he did to this woman, and what's this quote? You're going to love this. I just want to go back to doing what I love doing, making movies. What's that? What, with your brownie eight? With the eight up your brownie? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
We had another shooting in Ohio. This time some guy walked into a plant. And we imagined, just sort of fantasized, what it'd be like if Jim Rome went on a killing spree right here at our radio studios.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
From Los Angeles, The Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jim Rome. Later on, we're going to have Babe Ruth on, Lou Gehrig. The excellent, excellent interview with Lou Gehrig that we conducted. I tell you something right now, I'm feeling kind of down. I think I want to waste everybody in the office. Lost another affiliate. That's right, I was banging the monkey. I was banging my monkey. Next thing I know, I lost an affiliate. I just bummed out. I think I'll just waste everybody. I'm going to go office to office, room to room, blowing people away. What's up, JC? What do you got?
Yeah, Romy, thanks for the line.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, I think you ought to kill them all. I think you ought to start throwing bodies out the front door and...
Oh, my God, not again.
You're out.
Him. This has been the Jim Rome Show on the Premier Radio Network.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
So there you go. That's funny, ain't it? It's about as funny as anything else you're going to hear today. Jim Rome moving from office to office, wasting people. I think that is a marvelous image. I think it's great. Either that or Dr. Laura. Good God. Could you imagine that? Well, we'd be here to scoop it for you. All right, 1-800-449-8686. You listen to the Phil Henry Show. A father in Detroit, and by the way, we're taking calls for the next few minutes. A father in Detroit killed his children and then set fire to the house. Hi, everybody. Welcome to our wake-up show. I'm Pinky Lee. No, the guy actually just set fire to the house, murdered his kids, and we're also looking for this other child. We've got an Amber Alert out because the old man took her, two children. It's a Mazda. It's a light blue Mazda. I forget the license number, but we've got an Amber Alert on the freeways out here, and I'm sure throughout the country. You know, I don't know why I was thinking of this, but for some reason I thought about this. Now, dig this. In medieval paintings, if you look at the medieval times, we're talking 14th century, 15th century, you won't see any images of children under the age of, say, six. You won't see any images of children under the age of six. Do you know why? Because children, the mortality rate for children in those centuries was so high that the adults didn't want to really bond with the children that much. They didn't connect with their kids because, who knows, the kid may be dead in a week or 2 weeks. Diphtheria, the plague, I mean, any number of maladies could afflict and eventually put the kid out of commission, right? Because it's tough being a kid. And finally, you know, about the age of seven, you'll start to see images of kids hunting with their fathers or walking along with a hunting dog or something like that. The only infant you ever see in those pictures is of the infant Jesus, but you never see little kids because the fact is, whether it's the 14th century or the 21st century, it's tough to survive when you're a kid. You can't survive if you're a kid, if you don't have anybody who you can trust. And I'd say the average kid coming into this world is in big, big trouble. Big trouble, because not only do you have to worry about whether your old man is a homicidal maniac, a real piece of garbage. That's the extreme. The fact is that infanticide is the number one form of birth control that's been used since time began. That's the way people originally controlled the fertility of their women. That's the way women control their own fertility. They killed their kids. Do you understand? Do you understand finally? Good God Almighty. How many times do you got? Well, we're more civilized now, Mr. Henry. We don't do that anymore. Oh, well, we're more civilized, are we? What do you mean we're more civilized? Yeah, I understand that we wipe when we crap now. I got that. But what are you talking about? Women are still facing the same freaking problem, man. They got too many kids. They got too many kids. Well, maybe they should close their legs. Why don't you go tell that to the cave people, too? Close your legs, huh? You know what they're going to do with that? They'll take a freaking club, one of those things they knock their old lady over the head with, and cram that thing far and wide.
I think you cave people should have some more
Yeah, try that for a little birth control. So kids have got it bad. They got it bad. Not my kids, but most kids. My kids have got it so good, they can't believe their good fortune when they roll out of bed in the morning. But that's a whole other discussion. Which, by the way, I locked all of our TVs today. I put in the password, locked them all down. Oh, yeah, I locked them down. That was it. I came in. Oh, get a load of... You want to know how stupid I am, though? This is the ultimate story on how dumb I am. I get up this morning, and I go to our TV, and I flip on the news, and I decide to go to the main menu because I believe that I want to see how the parental controls work, etc. Yeah, you're right. I haven't done it yet. And I see this 11:39. 11:39. The kids were on the TV yesterday for 11 hours and 39 minutes. 11 hours and 39 minutes. Now, fortunately for me, one of my sons is just a born liar. So when he tells me he's on TV, watching TV for 2 hours, I know to at least double that. Which he said he was on TV for 2 hours. I said, you're full of crap, and you know it. And he goes, all right, you caught me. 2.5 hours. I said, come on. All right, 6 hours. Well, guess what 11:39 represented? That wasn't how much time they were on the TV. That was the time of day I was looking at the stupid TV screen. This is the stupidest clown you ever saw, and my wife and kids were howling. They were wetting themselves with laughter when they found out about that. 11 hours and 39 minutes, you get... That's the time. And I... 11 hours and 39. All right, here's Jeff. Jeff, hi. Jeff.
Hello, hey, how you doing?
Good, man, how are you?
Good, on a little family vacation, so the QP with G is very convenient sometimes,
yeah,
stuck in the drive-thru.
Right.
So it always comes for some reason. You order it, and by the time it gets through the drive-thru, it's smashed for some reason, which makes it really convenient to eat.
Yep.
But now they've changed the packaging. It's no longer smashed. It actually looks like the picture.
Yeah. Well, as I've said, the Quarter Pounder with cheese is the single most convenient hamburger of all the fast food hamburgers to eat in the car. When it was squished, which I imagine some fat chick just sat on and then she put it into the packaging and gave it to you, it was much easier, as you say, Jeff, because it squeezed all the ketchup and everything together. Now they got that big fluffy bun and the pickles are sitting up real high and beautiful in there. And you're actually getting crap on your shirt. So, McDonald's, why don't you pull your heads out of your asses and start sitting on those burgers again? Why don't you hire that same fat Mexican chick to just squish them between her thighs, whatever the hell she did, and give guys like Jeff an opportunity to get some freaking sleep? Okay, how are the kids, Jeff?
They're both passed out now. We went to the Monterey Bay Aquarium today. It was awesome.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, got the new Honda Odyssey, just cruising along, cruise control.
Hey, are you, is this visitation or are you married to your wife?
Yeah, I'm married. My wife, she's French. You drive her crazy.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, she's a good lady. Well,
No, I'm just kidding about that. No, is she, was she all pissed off during Iraq about everybody being down on her? And you know?
Oh, totally.
Okay.
She wanted to call you up so many times. I said, it's comedy.
All
comedy.
Right. Yeah, and she's going, okay. You know, like Jerry Lewis. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, we watched Betty Professor today at AMC. It was classic.
Which one? Okay, man.
See,
what did he say he saw? Nutty Professor. Oh, that's Buddy Love? God. You know, as good as Eddie Murphy's was, and it's great. There's no getting around how great it is. In fact, they're two separate movies. I can't even talk. I mean, the one with what's-his-ass, the one with Jerry Lewis, that thing is a beautiful... When he walks into the club for the first time as the Nutty Professor, Buddy Love, and he's like twitching nervously because he needs action, and he's like sucking nervously on the cigarette, and everybody's just a bore. And then when Eddie Murphy turns into Buddy Love and he's talking about the qualities of a nice ass, speaking of the qualities of a nice ass, Who has the most bodacious derriere? This is the stupid, idiotic, lame question put to us by some lame-ass website that my producer went to. What is this called, Janice? Ediet.com. They say, no, it ain't fat ass. What's her name? Jennifer Lopez. It's Jennifer Aniston. Look, let me explain something, if I might. As a man who's appreciated a woman's rear end and a man who married a woman with a gorgeous ass, let me explain life to you people who are Johnny-come-latelys who are jumping on this ass bandwagon because of J-Lo. First of all, if you want to see a beautiful ass on a woman, you go down to Bayfront Park in Miami on a Saturday, and you watch all those Cuban chicks walking through there with those spray-on jeans and those high heels and the big freaking hair. They got big, beautiful butts, and their husbands and boyfriends are walking along with great pride that their wives and girlfriends have got those big asses, and they're proud of it, and the women are proud of it, and they got the spray-on jeans, and by God, they are beautiful asses. So what do you think of that? But here's where every woman in America goes wrong, other than those Cuban chicks. Every woman in America pretty much is embarrassed by her ass, and there's nothing more, nothing puts a man off more. Well, I don't think it's very, you know something, baby, then go on your diet. You go on your diet, you eat your carrot sticks, do whatever you need to do. Go watch the one, that chipmunk-faced chick who ought to be doing a workout show in a graveyard. What's that lady's name? Go watch her, do some workouts, do some splits, go do aerobics, and get your butt down to about the size of a 10-year-old girl's. Huh? Is that sexy? Is that what your man wants? In fact, you could just go find him a 10-year-old girl. Because, baby, you know, we're talking a different language here. Now, I ain't talking obese. Obese is frightening and grotesque. Obese is what I saw on the dance floor, and again, I don't believe I'm being sexist, because I believe that I speak for with men or women in terms of body shape and what you like. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. I'm talking about shapely, as opposed to big, fat, and dumpy. Now, here is my good friend Mr. Newman saying, yeah, no cottage cheese. Well, that's impossible, dude. It's impossible to have a woman with a big ass and not have cottage cheese. But an abundance of it, you're right. No, you don't want that. But you sure as hell don't want to get out there on the dance floor of the Disney cruise like I saw these three buffalo at the watering hole. Oh, my God. And the poor little skinny man that was forced to dance with him. I know what the whole thing was. I know it. As soon as I saw it, I said to my wife, holy Jesus, you better call the freaking cruise director or something, because something bad's going to happen. She goes, what? I said, see that little skinny guy? He's dancing with these women. I know he's the husband of one of them. It's the fat woman, and she brought along her two huge friends, and they decided that they would have just kind of like a herd. This was going to be a herd cruise. And the husband has to dance with her, and he's a little skinny guy in tennis shorts and sneakers, right? And he's dancing, and he's got this look on his face. It looks very earnestly like he's having a good time. But he wasn't fooling me. He wasn't fooling me at all. And not only that, the freaking, the gouges their hooves put in the dance floor, Disney ought to sue them and then throw them overboard and lash them together and use them as a launch. You're not fooling me, pal. No man dances with three women that size with a smile on his face. I'm not talking about that. You got to understand, I'm talking about shapely. I'm talking voluptuous. I'm talking, tell you what, I'll post some pictures of my ex-girlfriends on my website. By the way, we have a picture. If Chris is listening, Chris, I want that picture on the female wall of female listeners, our first nude. This lady, you know what, and I got to pixelate some of it, man, because I can't show nude, but I mean, she was nude. She had my picture, and she's nude. Is she beautiful? Yeah. Yeah, she is. If you like them, you know, sort of big. All right, 1-800-449-8686, and I'm going to take a break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Oh, no, not another computer virus, really? Well, I'm shocked. Hey, thanks a lot, Bill Gates and IBM. You know, 20 years ago, we didn't have PCs. Nobody cared. And now we have PCs everywhere, and every time some kid who lives with his mom and dad in a basement and spends most of his time masturbating, but the other half of his time, or the other 10% of his time, I should say, creating computer viruses, and he can file business from here to the Gobi Desert with a flick of his calloused palm. Thank you very much. You talk about a bill of goods. When are we going to wake up and realize that what we're operating on here is a very thin veneer of organization, and we as consumers have got to take charge. We got to take control. A computer virus. Something that some guy who is sitting in at his desk eating a Braunschweiger sandwich and, I think I'll make a virus today and just screw life up as we know it. Oh, okay, let me just do this. You know, what you guys got going there at Microsoft and IBM and PC and Norton and antivirus and everything else is a con job. You're stealing our money. You're stealing our money. Come up with a way. Look, I don't even want to say it, you know. Because I'm beginning to doubt that we have the ability we say we do. I really am. I'm beginning to doubt all of it. I'm beginning to doubt that we are all that advanced. We couldn't possibly be advanced if we got a blackout on the East Coast. Every summer, some guy's looking around for a match. Thank God, the guy who invented matches, man, thank you. Thanks, pal, because you I can rely on. You're right, if I get caught in a rainstorm, but that's my own fault, isn't it? The guy that invented candles and matches, you cats have got my vote for president of the United States of America. I don't care what else you know, but the fact that you had the foresight and the intelligence to invent a match and a candle makes you light years, if you'll pardon the expression, beyond any clown operating a power company today. Any Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey clown operating a power company, or an antivirus software, or Bill Gates, or I take back Bill Gates. That guy's made out of money. Hey, Gates, why don't you do this? Take, I don't know, let's say $30 billion, and why don't you come up with some kind of a software that is virus-proof? Work on it. Get back to us on it, okay? When you're not going to a Trailblazer game or whatever it is you do with all that bread you've got, man, I don't even know. And it's none of my business. All I know is that suddenly we're on the computer. We are on the computer grid, so to speak. We are on the computer model, and every half hour there's a new virus out. It's called Genie. It's called Jenny. It's called Up Yours. It's called Hers. It's called His. It's His and Hers. It's Up Your Giggy with a Wawa brush. Stick it in and break it off. That virus was brutal. Come on, man. I mean, all I want to do is just get online and download a little email, maybe a little porn every now and again, play some Madden 2003, and that's it. Is that so much to ask? I guess it is. Excuse me for breathing. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Thomas Press joins us. He is an on-air reporter for the North German Radio Network. You've lived in America about 15 years, Thomas?
Oh, yes, Phil. I came here in 1986. So it's about, 16 and 17 years.
All right, and you are reporting here on the California recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger. What Austria is the homeland of Arnold Schwarzenegger, but the two countries, Austria and Germany, are culturally linked, right?
Yeah, Austria and Germany share a common language. We share a common culture. For me to be here in California now is to see something that we think is exciting and is on the front end of a movement, and that is the use of the immigrant in America to take charge, to reassert himself, and to help this great country find itself, because America has lost its way in so many different ways.
You feel America's lost its way?
I think this country has so much potential, but the native-born Americans, that is people who are born in this country, have not lived up to the challenge, I think, of their forebears.
this generation of Americans has failed?
I think so. The things I've seen since coming here, I've seen Americans who are born in this country. That's why when we talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger or any other immigrant running for public office in the United States, I think it's a good thing. Because I liken it to a police officer coming in to clean up a crack den or a shooting gallery or something where the drugs are used and where there are people who have lost their way. And the European immigrant, especially the German, has more experience. There is more continuity. There is more history. And America being out of control needs this kind of police presence, if you will, of the immigrant. So what we are seeing, if what I see is what I think I'm seeing, and that is that the immigrant is taking charge in America because the native-born Americans,
have lost control.
Have lost some semblance of control, yeah.
We're talking with Thomas Prest of the North German Radio Network. Native-born Americans, my generation of Americans, have lost control of the country.
I think so. It's a disturbing trend to see children who are kidnapped. Today I saw this Amber Alert, which we are seeing so much of, Phil, children who are being taken. This Amber Alert, this poor child has been taken by this man. You don't see this anywhere else in the world, but Americans kidnapping these children. And the blackout last week that they had in New York and other cities. Can you imagine such a thing, that this generation of Americans has been given this great country, in perhaps the greatest country in the history of the world, and I can't even keep the lights on,
Well, it's... do you blame that generationally?
Well, I think the world looks at this and says that America is obviously not the country that we thought it was, that this generation of Americans is. It's almost like a drunken Indian sitting at the ruins of the Mayan Empire. You see the great Mayan Empire, but you don't see the people working. And the American people have... And the most disturbing, of course... this trend that they have in America, having sex with children, having pornography with children, this is unbelievable to the rest of us in the world. And only in America do you see this fascination with having sex with a child. It is...
It's sick and disturbing.
It is very sick and disturbing. But most people don't do this. That's why when you see Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you see the immigrant who has to come in and to say, this is what America stands for, and you're not standing for it anymore.
We're talking with Thomas Prest. Will you say that sex with a child is disturbing? Obviously, it's more than disturbing. It's criminal. It's deeply traumatic and horrific. But it's not unique to America.
You don't see this in the world, Phil. I've reported news in some, I don't know, six or seven different countries the last 6 years before I came to the United States, and you don't see any fascination with sex with a child the way you do in America. And also in America, of course, one of the things that we sort of roll our eyes at is that only in America do the men need a drug to help them have sex with their wives or their girlfriends. This is unbelievable, and yet this happens in America. The men must take a Viagra. Because in America, the men need a drug in order to have sex with a woman. I can tell you, just speaking as a German, I don't need the...
I dare say a lot of American men would say the same thing.
But only in America do the men... they may say it, but in America, they sell this Viagra. This is why the immigrant...
So, just to interrupt you, Thomas, so you're saying this is why, and to continue saying, the immigrant is needed in America?
More than needed. This is why the immigrant is taking charge in America, because this is the only generation of Americans, the immigrant American, that can clean up this desperately sick environment.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with a German radio reporter, Thomas Prest. He's here to report on the California recall election, and also he's looking at Arnold Schwarzenegger running for governor, saying that the immigrant American is the only hope for this country. And
well, again, I don't want to say that there are no American people who don't love their country, but the immigrant is the only person I think who's going to be able to come into this environment and sort of grab the American, if you will, figuratively by the back of the head and say, look at the filth that you live in, look at what you've done to this country. I grew up in Germany. I looked at this great country. And I said, I want to live in America. And I came here, and I almost wanted to be sick at what I saw. Sex with children. Sex with animals. Having to take drugs to have love. I continue to be shocked by the amount of adultery that happens in America. This does not happen in Europe. And the fact that the immigrant has to take control of this is almost like saying one of the children has to take care of this because the adults have failed. But, so again, I say this with the greatest of love, but the American people are a sick people. They are unhealthy. They are dour. They are pale.
I hear a lot of Europeans say when they come to the United States, they see Americans, they don't look happy.
No, Americans do not look happy. Americans look sickly, they look pale, they look as if they are not happy people. There is such a need now for the new thinking, the new immigrant influence. And it's like we have a word for it in German, it's called Rechterwaschen. Which is, it's like an ass wash, I guess, to put it in a, you know, to put it in a colloquial term, it's like...
I don't understand, it's like an ass wash?
It's like if you were to wash, I'm trying to think, if you were to wash your ass, this is America's what would come out.
You mean like an enema or something?
Like an enema, yes. And so I'm... disgusted, but I love this country, and so I'm glad to see at least a European taking charge because the Americans can't.
You know, I got to tell you something, Thomas. You're saying some very challenging things to say that it takes a European to come to America and straighten America out is pretty bold.
Yeah, but the proof is the popularity of Arnold Schwarzenegger. People look to the German mind. People look to the German mind because it is organized. And we've lived down the past of the Nazis and the terrible things that happened in my country, of course. But now, and Americans have failed miserably. And it's all right to admit that, but we immigrants are here to help.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Have we failed so miserably as a generation? I love that. That's, he calls an enema ass wash. Rekatalewasche. Have we failed so much as a generation that we need immigrant politicians like Arnold Schwarzenegger? This is Thomas Press, the gentleman I was just talking to. He's a North German radio reporter. He says that America is a wonderful country from the standpoint of standing on the shores of Europe, but when you get here, you feel sorry for the people, and it's a sick environment. He says, among other things, nowhere else in the world do they have a fascination with sex with children, but in America, they kidnap children here. The men need a drug to make love to their women. The blackout last week, etc. Pretty challenging things. Our number, 1-800-449-8686, is the Phil Hendry Show. Our website, our website is Phil Hendry Show, www.philhendryshow.com. And we'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Stop the presses, stop the shtick. Ann Coulter is here, and I ain't doing a voice, baby. I could, but I won't. Ann, you've
so
come in from doing the, you know, and we have ripped you up one side and down the left, and you haven't ripped me because you wouldn't know me if you fell over me. But now you do. Do you know of me?
Yeah, well, I ran on the Drudge Report, a journalist with an excellent sense of humor.
Matt?
No. The one he was citing from Oregon.
Oh, that cat. Yeah, going
through some
Yeah,
really
the guy
funny...
is, he was the number one journalist in humor in, for like 20 years or something. Now, let me ask you a question.
I think this should be...
And I got to ask him.
The Democratic Party's new motto.
What
That's
is?
Not funny.
Well...
Anyone
they don't think,
takes...
look at Franken, they're suing Franken because he's making fun of him. Fox, those the Nazis over there are suing Franken because the guy just made fun of their little fair and balanced fic. Are they serious with that lawsuit? You know everybody over there. You know Sean. By the way, say hi to Sean. And I'm sorry I'm not taking his calls, but it's just it's got to stop, Sean. Guy called me in Atlanta.
Boy, you're really funny, Phil. I love your show. Where are you going?
Minneapolis. Where are you going?
New York.
So now let me ask you a question.
No, that's
you said that Clinton hates America.
No, liberals hate America. It's a much broader group.
Why make a statement like that? Just because you want to get the book up the ladder of the New York Times bestseller?
No,
thing?
I think it's true. Although I'll tell you,
I'm a liberal. I don't hate my country, for God's sake.
Well, I don't know you personally, but I am talking about liberals.
Liberals hate America.
The thing I would say is somewhat unfair about that is that they don't really hate their country because they don't think of America as their country. They think they're part of some international
Who is a liberal? You must be thinking of somebody from another country or Mars or something. Is Arnold Schwarzenegger a liberal?
Not in this sense.
Well, what sense are we talking?
You know,
in other words,
Malibu,
you're talking
about Park Avenue, the Democratic Party.
I live in
Barbara Streisand.
Democratic Party. I'm a member of the Democratic Party.
Okay, you are a traitor then.
So, in other words, what you say?
I take it back.
I
know all I need to know.
What you say is to simply piss people off and bang on a garbage can lid with a stick.
No,
yes,
I mean
that's
it
what
seriously.
You do.
Do you have a copy of my book?
That means I got to buy it.
Well, if
I'm going to waste my freaking money on that.
If I had known I was going to meet the great Phil Henry, I would have brought
you a copy. Seriously, you calling me a traitor?
Well, only
it's ignorance.
Because I have.
I understand.
Oh, no, you live in Malibu.
No, actually, I live in Thousand Oaks. I live over the mountain from Malibu in Thousand Oaks. Come on.
How do you
What is it? Is that the only way you guys are going to be able to sell a book, is making this broad brush, idiotic statement like that? And what is this rehabilitation of McCarthy? Come on. Only a moron knows that McCarthy wasn't involved with... only a moron would think McCarthy was involved with HUAC.
Yeah,
everybody who anybody who went to history to a history class knows that, that was a totally different investigation.
Right, and
so what does that all of a sudden mean? He's a freaking archangel?
No, but that remains the principal attack. I mean, the fact that I'm...
Well, let me ask you a question.
Right about, and they're wrong, that isn't the main argument.
You realize, of course, that it wasn't against the law to be a member of the Communist Party at one time. Now, there might have been communists in the U.S. government, but you realize, of course, that the man indicted publicly innocent people.
No, actually, he didn't. And
well,
what
about
facts?
Yes, he did.
Hubert Humphrey is the one who introduced a bill that would outlaw the Communist Party. McCarthy was far more
reasonable.
That's
got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Well, you said it wasn't against the law to be a member of the Communist Party. The Democrats, the typical overreaction, what McCarthy was doing was actually very reasonable, which was
reasonable.
He was looking at loyalty risks.
Edward R. Murrow, he called a communist stooge. Edward R. Murrow. Now, come on, Ann. You know that you've already called me a traitor. You're telling me that Edward R. Murrow was a communist, right?
Yeah.
Edward R. Murrow was a... Well, what do you mean it was in good fun?
Are
liberals traitors or not? Are liberals traitors or not?
Can I fully
God
respond to one...
God damn it!
Yes, they are.
And what an ass! Now, anyway...
Egbert's
you don't like that,
Murrow.
Huh? You're going to walk in here in those jeans and I can't say anything about it? Plus, what's up with the cheesecake on your website? She's got all these shots of herself in these short skirts. And there's Limbaugh at home just going, oh, yeah...
I mean, they are shots of me with holding
a gun. Holding a gun, yeah.
That's a good
Whose
one.
Gun is that?
Do you know his real name was Egbert?
Who?
And Edward R. Murrow.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Limbaugh.
And
seriously,
he also,
that maniac, that alcoholic,
one of his best friends was Lawrence Dugan, Soviet spy, and he accused McCarthy of undermining the nation's security. And McCarthy went on TV and said, if I'm undermining the nation's security, then yes, I would be guilty of treason. If, on the other hand, Egbert R. Murrow, except he called him Edward, is undermining the nation's
security.
Did
you see the video?
Then he would be the
traitor. Did you watch it?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
I did
too, and I didn't hear him say if. He said, Mr. Murrow, he pointedly accused him of being a communist stooge. He didn't say if you're doing this and if you're doing that. He never used the word if.
In the video I saw, he didn't do it, and it happens to be the collection of Edward R. Murrow's best of McCarthy tape. So Egbert apparently didn't think it was so impressive.
Well, so he was a communist.
These are the ones that he put together. No, but that isn't what McCarthy was doing. You change McCarthy's, you adulterate his message to try to say that what he was doing was wrong.
His message
was over and over again.
There may have been communists in the government.
May not be any threat to America whatsoever, but they are enough of a risk.
If you say to a man,
classified material, it would be as if
in the 1950s, if you call somebody a communist, it's like calling him a child molester today. You can't throw that word around in the 50s.
It would be as if
it's the same
today
thing.
After 9/11, George Bush were employing known members of former Islamic Al-Qaeda front groups in the transportation department. McCarthy repeatedly said many of these people
like
may get a clean bill of health, which is why he didn't name names. The Democrats forced him to name names. He listed them all, case one, case two, case three.
Right.
He said, not saying these people are a threat. Many of them may get a clean bill of health. What I'm saying is, with this record, with these communist connections,
I never heard McCarthy speak with this kind of reasonable tone of voice.
But
his hair
true.
Was falling in his face, the alcoholic
true.
Sweat flopping onto the freaking desk in front of him.
It was very funny.
McCarthy was funny?
Very, very funny.
So it was shtick. Oh, great. All those people jumped out of windows for nothing.
Oh, nobody jumped out of the window except, as we now know, two Soviet spies.
Okay. In any event,
when
Ann
Kulak was
Coulter,
onto them.
Who's banging a freaking garbage can lid with a stick. Now I know. Now I know. Bull crap.
Okay, how do you explain,
Jesus.
Speaking of liberal traitors.
Hey, by the way, that was a pretty good comeback on Donahue, though, when he said, I feel so assaulted. You said, you're not even in the book. Which, you know, frankly, he wasn't. I'm looking at that guy. I'm going, Jesus, that was the kiss of death right there, Donahue. Goodbye. You know, I feel so assaulted. Why? I didn't even mention you. That's why I feel assaulted. You're not, this is what I can't stand. I can't stand. Why don't you be honest with me? And I'm a liberal and I'm a Democrat. I'm a traitor. Be honest with me. Come on.
Quit fooling around. You're either a traitor or you're in the wrong party.
Quit fooling. Oh, please.
Were you for going to
This is the incent. I was, of course, for going to Iraq.
Well,
there were a lot of Democrats who were.
Why do you call yourself a liberal?
Wait a second. Liberals can pick up a gun just as fast as a conservative and in defense of their country. Roosevelt crap bull crap?
No, you see, this. That's why it's the last 50 years. Yes, there. You used to have a great Democrat who could wage war.
How about if I change
anymore.
The Democratic Party? You want to join? How about
if
I made us all a bunch of ass-kicking, gun-running maniacs?
Like that.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, I would like that.
No, seriously.
And
it's
still be for all that other nonsense
of course,
liberals
I was
believe, like gay marriage, abortion, confiscatory taxes. But if we could all be for defending America, I'm thinking both parties
marriage.
Should be for defending America.
Gay marriage. My producer, by the way, is a lesbian who really would like to get your number. She wants your phone
married,
number.
Though?
So, are you married, Janice? No.
Well, there you go.
You know why?
A
because a freaking. Now, you want to know why? Because the Nazis like you. Now, anyway. Why are you against gay marriage? What's the problem with that?
I'm just saying.
What the hell is possibly...
That
what
you can
you...
still believe everything else you believe. But look, during World War II, you did not have a Republican Party saying, oh, Hitler didn't hit us at Pearl Harbor. That wasn't Hitler. Why are we going after Hitler? And where are the death camps? Where are the
death
camps?
I think you guys make the mistake is you think that
this
the cats in Washington represent the rank-and-file Democrats who do believe that a government can do good sometimes by helping people who do... You know, we went to the moon on government money.
True.
We went to the freaking moon on government money.
No, but
you know, the government put people to work in World War II. If we could return to a government, a Democratic Party like that, you'd say it'd be okay.
Absolutely. That's what the point of my book. I'm trying to persuade the normal Democrats who don't hate America.
Why don't you, then you want to get the normal Democrats who don't hate America. This is week. Finally got Ann to admit that there's normal Democrats somewhere. Me, for instance.
You. And there are one or two in Ohio, I think. But they're not in Washington, Malibu, or Manhattan.
Well, you
and
are
they're
a hit.
Running the party.
You're a hit, man. You're big time.
Not as big. I haven't been attacked by the
Eugene Standard thing.
Writer at the Eugene Standard.
That was Ann Coulter, believe it or not, on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I want to get back. Thomas, I'm sorry, but Ann Coulter joined us, and we've always been wanting to talk with Ann, and she was very gracious to come on the air, and I could have lit into her like I did Mark Cuban, but she's here, and...
I know Ann from New York, Phil. She's a terrific lady. She's very, very smart. She's a great journalist. She's a great attorney. We had some fun. I don't want to go into it, but...
All right. Well, let me ask you something. You are saying that Arnold Schwarzenegger is the right man at the right time in California because he represents the new immigrant American who...
Yeah, the point I was trying to make, Phil, is that immigrant Americans, the new American immigrant from Europe, some of these other places, is the person to put America right because this generation of Americans has... so misused this country. You see in your country the race mixing, and let me say, I believe in the equality of people. But I believe one of the problems that your country has is in the mixing of race, the black and white. And I know that Arnold does, I don't know if he shares this opinion, but I know a lot of Republicans I know do. And so what I would say is that...
Well, you used the term ass wash. You said America is just a...
This country, America, is in very big trouble. When you enjoy sex with a child... Then you,
well, you can't accuse all Americans of that. You can't say...
No, but it's a predominant culture. Americans are also liars. Europeans, we believe in honesty, but Americans, they lie. Which is something that... So you put together the fact that they love sex with children, that they lie, that they need a drug to make love to their women. This is a country that desperately needs an Arnold Schwarzenegger or the German mindset and... So that's what I'm going to write about in my column tomorrow.
All right, Thomas Prest is with us, 1-800-449-8686. Here's an opinion from north of the border. Steve?
Yes, hi, how are you?
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air with Thomas Prest here on the Phil Henry Show.
Thomas, I cannot believe what I'm hearing. This is, in an old sense, but Germany only 50 years ago rounded up over 2 million people and
Let's talk about today.
I'm not American.
And the Canadian people, of course, are homosexuals.
The United States of America is the envy of the world and still gets most things right.
Well, I have to say, I agree with you.
But it's because Americans have most of their problems because they always side on the on freedom, and perhaps there's too much freedom.
But let me ask you a question, Steve. Why is it you enjoy to have sex with a child? Why do you enjoy to take a drug to get erect for a woman? Why do you...
All right, well, you're speaking of Viagra, right?
Yes. And this in Europe, we don't need this.
Thomas, allow me to respond.
We don't have to
Pete
do this.
Townsend, first of all, Peter Townsend is British. Just got caught with kiddie porn.
No, no.
Remember
he was
Adolf
doing
Hitler,
a search on his biography.
He fantasized about his mother. Don't try to tell me there's no pedophiles in Germany. Are you kidding me?
In general.
Or did he kill them all during World War II?
No,
real.
I have to tell you this, that Adolf Hitler was the worst scourge on my country. But he did level, if you will, the karma of the pederast. And
now, wait a minute. What are you saying? Hitler did something right?
No, I'm saying to the extent that... let me ask you, Steve, was it all right for Hitler to kill child molesters or not?
Absolutely not.
Oh, so you must love a child molester.
First of all,
so you
Thomas,
molest
there was
children.
No
thank
jury.
You.
Wait a second. Hitler murdered human beings.
Dragged people out and murdered them, and then later would say that they were homosexual or pedophiles.
I would rather live in a country like that than a country that is swimming in an enema wash, which is a...
Will you stop with that? You're talking about my country, okay? Swimming in an enema wash?
That is... To come into America today is like coming into a crack den, to a shooting gallery. I love this country. I love America. But it is sad to see... and the children are overweight. And the women are... They used to be much better looking. But today, they're frightening. We are, and he speaks of Hitler. That was old news. That's water under the bridge.
Well, you know, Hitler's more than water under the bridge, sir. He is a trauma that the likes of which history will not soon forget.
This is a melodrama that you Americans love. You love to embrace melodrama. The history of the world won't forget. You know, Hitler was wrong. He was wrong. But you still have to step back and say, interesting, some of the ideas, you know. And so...
What? Like the Volkswagen?
Yeah, that and a couple of things.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Thomas Prest, is it something about Americans when we hear a German accent, we just tighten up a little bit? Anyway, he says, America, one big crack den, and it takes the immigrant politician like Arnold Schwarzenegger to clean it up. 1-800-449-8686. We'll take a break. Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
Sex with a monkey, which to my way of thinking...
What do you mean sex with a monkey? A president?
This was what was circulated in Germany, and of course it was not true, but this creates the image of the American president. And I think the immigrant who has been long time bashed in America, this is his time to shine. And I think American people will be happy with what the immigrant brings. Arnold Schwarzenegger is organized. He is a man who is focused, unlike most Americans. And I think it's time for America to take the lead of the Germans.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Al, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Hi, yeah, is this me?
Yes, sir. Al, go ahead.
Hey, how are you?
Fine,
yeah,
sir.
I'm not a listener to your show.
Yes, sir.
Turned on by mistake. But I'm kind of like fed up with all of these people, the Ann Coulters, this guy you've got on right now, and others who tend to just lump all Americans in one bag. You know, Ann Coulter, whether all liberals or communists, this guy that all Americans are perverts and degenerates. Yeah, I happen to be an immigrant.
Yes, sir. Well,
yeah.
Are you from America?
I happen to be an immigrant. I was born in Cuba. I live in Miami. You know, I travel extensively around the world. You know, so I'm exposed to a lot of culture.
But you've seen, I've been out with Ann Coulter in New York. She's a fun, fun girl.
I bet she is a fun, fun girl.
And
I bet you're a fun, fun guy.
Well, I have
to. But anybody who would try to reason with you on an intelligent level would be trying to match wits with a hemorrhoid. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Sir, I come from Germany.
It's fine to talk about the problems we have, you understand?
I'm talking about the problems you have. You molest children, you have sex with monkeys.
And lump everybody in one boat, is just idiotic and stupid.
First of all,
gentlemen, could I just jump in one at a time? I'd like to ask you, Mr. Prest, you say you're from Germany, this man's from Cuba?
Not to put on Cuba, because I think Cuba has got possibility. I think, but I come from Germany, and I think we know the difference between the two countries. Cuba, they are still climbing palm trees there. You know, they're looking for coconuts. And
Wait a second.
It's true. I mean, you're still up there like a monkey up a tree, and we are...
Hold on, man.
But you, sir, you understand that...
You're a racist.
No, sir, I'm not a racist at all.
Yes,
sir.
You are a racist.
No, sir,
it's worse than being a racist.
When Arnold becomes governor, I can assure you the Cubans will have a place in the state house, perhaps... taking care of the driveway or the garage, cleaning out the garage.
So in other words...
This guy's not for real.
Are you for real?
This guy's an idiot.
You couldn't possibly be representing Arnold Schwarzenegger talking like that.
I come from the same culture as Mr. Schwarzenegger. I'm simply trying to say to both of you gentlemen, if you would let me have a word in edgewise, is that this. The immigrant to America is going to straighten things out. The Cuban has a place in the new order. The Cuban will have a place in the new final solution, but what we are trying to do is that...
What do you mean the new order?
The Cuban will... The Cuban, I think, has his place.
And you have your place.
That far up the food chain.
And your place should be somewhere picking up garbage behind a dump truck somewhere.
You will never have to ride a tire raft again. And I can...
Okay,
hey,
so every Cuban...
I didn't ride a tire raft to come to this country.
How did you come to this country?
And when I travel around the world first class.
Did you come over on a tire raft? Did you come over on a sinking boat?
I didn't come over on a tire raft. I came on
over
a
Panamax
slipper ship.
All right, okay, look. That let me see your papers crap...
That's just a joke. We throw it around a lot. It scares people. A lot of my Jewish friends, I'm trying to break the ice.
All right. Thank you very much, Al. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Thomas Prest. He is a North German radio network reporter about Arnold Schwarzenegger and the new immigrant politician in America. You have the wrong idea of America when you talk about you. And the rumors about an American president having sex with a monkey is
that was what was going on in Europe.
President Clinton had a sexual contact with a woman.
But what I'm saying, the view of America is so negative that they immediately think it must have been an ape. It must have been an animal that the president, because they cannot believe American president. In the room with George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and all of the great Americans would lay there and grunt like an animal. And that Lewinsky had an ass like a baboon, so...
All right, I need to keep this...
I'm terribly sorry.
All right. 1-800-449... Is it Zoran? I'm sorry.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir. Zoran?
Yeah.
Yeah, turn your radio down, sir, and you're on the air.
I turned my radio down.
Go ahead.
Phil, great show, but I have to congratulate you. Where did you find these people?
I don't know.
Janice,
where did you find this guy? The guy, he called us.
He called you.
Yes.
Wait, I don't know. His name is Thomas, something like that.
Thomas,
he's a German.
Thomas Bless, yes, sir.
Thomas,
Do you speak German, sir?
Thomas, thank you very much for your opinion, but...
thank you. Are you from Germany?
No, I'm Yugoslavian. Yeah, I came in this country 8 years ago.
You can hardly know of these
I'm
matters.
A citizen,
you can hardly know of the matters
really,
of which we
I'm
speak.
Sorry.
But you come from Yugoslavia, which was nothing more than a madhouse. It's a nut house. Every nut running around with every kind of agenda. Have you ever thought of running for office, Zoran?
I'm sorry, I really badly hear you.
I said, sir, have you thought of running for office? Because America can use a sensible voice, especially from Bosnia-Herzegovina, some place where there's been sniper fire, something you can... get up and show a wound on TV, you know, and say, look what happened to me. And America, you can survive this. I survived a shot to the head. Why can't you?
Uh-huh.
Okay? Thank you very much.
Wait a minute.
I really think we don't need, in this beautiful country, we don't need any German recipes.
Sir, are you accusing me of being a Nazi?
This, I'm sorry?
Are you saying I'm a Nazi?
No, I didn't
say
that.
Okay, that's good.
Right,
how do you feel about the American...
I lived in Germany for almost 3 years.
Okay,
and,
listen to this. Have you heard about this?
Even third or fourth generation in Germany, they are still Ausländer.
You know what I say to this? Zoran, the American men are taking a pill to have sex or with their women. What do you think of this? This is makes me laugh until I want to piss.
Did you ever heard in Germany something like that?
No, we don't take that pill in Germany.
We don't
need that. No, you don't need in Yugoslavia. American men must take
that. You heard over here.
Also, they have
media,
to wear condoms.
Right?
We don't need that.
Because of freedom
freedom
of media, right?
This guy's nuts. What's he talking about? I mean, this guy is nuts. So,
all right, thank you very much. So the accent's slipping on you, huh?
What are you talking? I mean, what do you mean?
Okay, next time we get a guest on the air, I want to make sure they're really German and that they're not some kind of a ringer sent in here by Calder's people or anybody else.
And the next time you try to mess with Ann Calder,
get out of here.
Ass wash.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, we milked the hell out of that, didn't we, huh? And we threw an interview with Ann Calder in the middle of it. Look on our website. She'll be on our wall of female listeners. No, I'm kidding. She will not. She'll be in our scrapbook. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. So that voice, by the way, was done by me. The people that called real, unprompted, unpaid callers. And that's how we do our show. That's why we are the world-famous Phil Henry Show, now in its sixth year without any extra money. And Mike Reagan, by the way, we love you, Mike. I hope you... do better than here. I'm kidding. No, you're doing really good. Mike Reagan has got nothing to worry about. And anyway, I want to tell you about our Best Of CD. You can hear bits like this crap that you just heard for 45 minutes on our Best Of CD, which goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And we're happy to do that. All of the money, 100% of the proceeds go, and we're approaching $1 million that we've raised for a place where kids... now, this is kind of an entrepreneurial deal, Ann. A guy hated kids. A very good friend of mine, Steve Lepore, couldn't stand these street kids in Hollywood. Couldn't stand them. So to get them off his back, he'd feed them dinner and then finally said, all right, I'll open up a resource center for you. And now we're 13, 14 years down the road, and he's feeding I don't know how many hundreds of kids. And he suddenly realizes he kind of likes them. And he quit his job as an attorney at Landmark Entertainment and, you know, and started my friend's place. And he suckered me into giving. I mean, I've been very happy to give $1 million, so it's a really sweet thing. And all of that money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. What are you doing, bud?
I turn it off.
Don't turn off the light when I'm reading something.
I got to.
Why?
Kind of black out.
What blackout, man? It was back east.
No, Mr. Hall said turn off on a blackout.
There isn't any blackout, and don't turn the light off when I'm reading.
Gotta conserve energy.
Hey, bud, you don't conserve energy to turn off my light, man. Okay? And the blackout was last week, and everything's good. David, he's messing around with the...
Look, I told him to go in there and to save energy. What are you doing, bud?
I turn off the light, Mr. Hall, so there's be no blackout.
No, you can't do that, bud, because Henry's got to read stuff.
Why are you sending him in here? Why don't you tell me that you're sending him in here?
Look, we got to save energy. Bud is... So if you don't mind, can I just talk to Bud for a minute?
Go ahead.
Bud?
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
Look, I figure what you can do is listen to Phil, and if he's dull, just turn his microphone off. And that'll save some energy.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
That's a really good idea.
What are you talking about? Turn the mic back on. Turn the mic back on.
Yeah, that's working good, bud. We're saving all kinds of juice.
Yeah, I know you like that.
And I don't want you to turn the mic... Bastards.
Okay, that saved a little money. Very good, bud. Nice thinking.
Okay, Mr. Hall. When Mr. Henry's boring, I turn off microphone.
Bud, I wanted you to know... I hope you don't keep doing that. Are you playing around with my landline?
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah, he's pretty dull. Keep turning it off.
I'm trying to say...
Yeah, it blows. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Anyway, I wanted to...
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Whitney Houston's dealer. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger joins us from the Orange County Courier. Doug Danger is an entertainment writer, although we're going to be talking with Doug this evening about things that are not really entertainment related. You're writing a first draft of a book called Tough Love and your experiences out in the world of just society. Doug, talking with people and what America needs, and you've subtitled the book Observations of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist. Welcome to us, to our show, Doug, and thanks for being on our program.
You're more than welcome, Phil. I enjoyed your interview with Ann Coulter. I think she's a just a reactionary bitch, but...
All right, I just can't handle that word.
No, it's okay. What I wanted to say more than anything else, Phil, is I enjoyed the interview. And I want to also say to you that I'm enjoying writing this book because as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I've tried to put into practice... what I think comes naturally to gay people, and that is that we are a courageous people. I think being a gay man and a gay journalist, I investigate places. I go places I think a lot of straight people would be afraid to go to. And that's why I wrote the book Tough Love, because it started with a chance encounter in a restaurant.
All right, you were sitting in a fast food restaurant.
I was in a fast food restaurant over in Santa Monica. And I saw something it disgusts all of us. I mean, every time we see an obviously overweight child, it's tough to look at. It's disgusting. It can put you off your food. And in this case, this was an overweight girl. So right away, I felt sorry for the child. But then I saw the mother, and she was not fat. She was not a woman of that kind of condition. She was in pretty good shape. And I thought, that poor kid... with a mother like that, somebody ought to say something. So I did something that no one ever does. And I did something I don't think anybody before me has ever done. I got up, and I walked over to that table, and I said to that woman, the mother of that overweight child, I said, you need to take charge of this child's eating, because if you don't, Child Protective Services will, meaning the state of California is going to come in and take your kid.
Jesus, Doug.
I know. And
I mean, that's, you walked over and said that.
I said that. Because, Phil, this is something that, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I'm trying to get your straight listeners to understand. This takes a lot of courage, and I think as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I have that courage. I've been out of the closet now the better part of a month, and the roads I've come down since I came out of the closet are unbelievable.
So you went over to this woman and said, you didn't know her, she's a total stranger.
That's absolutely right. But let me tell you what happened.
What?
She said to me, thank you. I never really wanted to face it, and you had the courage to tell me. And I told her that I was gay and that I was a gay journalist and that my courage came from that. You see, Phil, no one ever does that. No one ever does just walk right up to a stranger and tell them you have to make some changes. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so what I think I can do is show people that.
Doug Danger is with us from the Orange County Courier. So your book is about these encounters.
I'll give you an example. Have you ever been in a restaurant or in a cocktail lounge and you've watched the server bring one cocktail after another to one of the guests? I was in a restaurant near our newspaper, and there was a group of businessmen, and I saw this one guy ordering one drink after the next, and I said, I walked over to him because he looked to me like he'd had enough.
How many drinks did he had?
I guess he probably had about three. But as far as I was concerned, that was enough. So I said, excuse me.
Now, you've walked over to this man.
Yes. I said, excuse me, but I've noticed you've had more than enough to drink. I've taken the liberty to tell your server and the restaurant manager that if they serve you one more drink, I do have the right as a citizen to call 911 and report a drunk driver.
And this is a table full of businessmen.
That's right.
So what did he say?
Again, Phil, the surprising response that sometimes we don't expect. He said to me that he wasn't driving, and I looked at him and I said, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. And he looked at me and he said simply, thank you. And from that moment on, it was hot coffee.
So these people thank you for intruding into a situation?
Because people are begging for it, Phil. People are screaming for it. They're praying for someone to intervene in their lives that are out of control. The woman with the fat child, I went over to her and I said, you get control of this child's eating. Because it looks like a pig sitting there. People are taken aback by my courage, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And I said, this is a tough one, and I guess the reason why I'm on your show is I'm trying to get this through to the straight listeners.
Doug Danger with us. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Tough love, chance encounters of a gay man and a gay journalist walking up to people. These are total strangers, right?
Total strangers.
And just going up and telling them things they need to know about them lives, about their lives.
Yeah, I'm making a difference, Phil.
But you're not suggesting everybody does this.
Well, this is my problem. I'm gay. I can see these things, but I don't know if straight people can. The straight listener that you have, straight people, by definition, don't have the courage that a gay man and a gay journalist, or just gay people would have, or the gay woman of the gay journalist. I was having coffee over at Norm's, and I saw what a lot of us see. And here's something that's really interesting. A young woman who is pregnant, she was pushing a stroller with another child in it, and the husband was holding her hand, and he had a little child in a front papoose. So that's like three kids and one on the way. And I saw this, and so I paid my bill, and I followed after them, and I said, and how many of us would have this kind of courage, Phil? But I did it because as a gay man and as a gay journalist, again, these are encounters of courage. And I said to them, I said, you know what? No one's impressed with your ability to have kids, and no one's impressed with your little family unit. You both look stupid with your fat pregnant body, and you, sir, look stupid carrying that baby. Now, no one would ever say that to them, would they? No.
Well, why would anybody want to say that?
Because that's the fact of most of these yuppie families. They have these children to be impressive to other people. They have these children so that they somehow feel worthy. And I told the two of them that they looked ridiculous with their papoose and their stroller. And I said, they both look stupid. I said, you're both very unimpressive. And your children look stupid, too. And I said these things because the truth needs to be said. And you know what they said? They turned and they looked at me. And the man said, we had no idea. Thank you for showing us how utterly stupid we look.
Doug, these people thank you, right?
In our book, yeah.
Did you ever have anybody say, butt out?
In very very rare, Phil, not even worth mentioning. I mean, 99% of the people welcome this kind of input. When you can walk up to someone, a total stranger, that is doing something that you believe is wrong. Most of your listeners haven't walked the hard road I have since I came out as a gay man, as a gay journalist, but that's why they keep their mouths shut. And there's a saying, never again, and that's how I feel, never again will I be silent when I see some stupid-looking human like my mother's best friend, Ruth Daly. She's 75 years old. She came into the house the other day with collagen-injected lips. She'd had a breast enhancement. She said to my mother, how do I look? And before my mother could answer, I said what needed to be said. And I said, Ruth, you look pathetic. You're 76. You're going to die soon. So what are you thinking? Those fake breasts are going to attract a man to have sex with a pruned-up hag? It's tough love, Phil. And she stopped, and I could see her face fall, and she said she didn't know how stupid she looked, and I told her, believe me, you look ridiculous, and she thanked me. She thanked me for that. So if we all could have that kind of courage to tell people what's up, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. As a gay person, I've developed a lot of that courage.
Well, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Our guest is Doug Danger, who's written the book Tough Love, Observations of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist, walking up to people and telling them what you say needs to be said.
These are what I call observational truths. You can do it in a long, extended conversation, or you could do it just walking up to someone and saying to them, you know, your suit looks bad, your tie looks ridiculous, you know, anything. You can do that. Or you can walk into a restaurant and say to a woman, don't talk to your child that way. I have intervened, I don't know, probably 10, 15 times, but I've heard women talking to their children in ways that I don't think they should. And I'll say to them, it's one small step for me to go to the phone and call California Child Protective Services. So watch how you talk to that kid. And that's tough love. And that's what I'm good at. I'm a gay man. You know I'm gay, right? You know.
Yes, I do.
All right. But that's the tough love I'm talking about.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger, the one that I think, if somebody says to me, you look stupid and your kids look stupid, and nobody's impressed with your family unit, how that man turned around and said to him, thank you, is beyond me. 1-800-449-8686. There are other stories in the book, by the way. One story in which he told a family of four, he told the couple, please don't have any more kids. And they thanked him for it because people are asking, they are really in need of guidance. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm looking at page. Doug Danger is with me, the author of a book called Tough Love, Observations of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist. Chapter 6, you walked up to someone I believe this was at a ball game?
I don't know which one you were up.
The lady who was pregnant?
Yeah, Phil, that was at a Los Angeles Kings hockey game.
All right, you walked up to the woman who was pregnant, and it was right after there had been a news story on the abuse of children. And you said to her that you were a gay man and a gay journalist and that she should abort the child she's carrying.
That is correct, yeah. And I'll tell you something.
Why would anybody want to talk to you after that?
You know why, Phil? Because people, I tell them, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And so they stop. They want to hear what I've got to say. And I said, you ought to abort what you're carrying. And I said, and I'll tell you why. Because the abuse of children is on the rise. And you know as well as I do that there is a 5 in 10 chance that baby you think you love, within 2 to 3 years, you'll be beating with a coat hanger. You'll be sticking its hand in scalding water, all kinds of stuff. So I said, why not abort it? And she said to me, and again, Phil, it's hard to be, straight people don't have this kind of courage. So that
what did she say?
She said to me, I understand. I understand where you're coming from. I get it. See, that's all people want. They want us to know sort of what they're thinking.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Lee, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey. I'm not gay and I'm not a journalist, but I tell you what, I got four great kids. If somebody were to walk up and say something like that to me, they'd be on the floor bleeding.
Well, what's the point? I'm just being honest with you. I've never seen your family, but these people looked idiotic.
It doesn't matter. Everybody has a right. And whether or not you want to walk around and flaunt your homosexuality, fact that you're a journalist doesn't give you a right at any time to walk up and be rude and obnoxious like that.
No, I'm being honest.
My sister is a journalist in California. You run your mouth. You let me talk.
You know I'm gay, right?
You're on my nickel.
You know I'm gay.
I don't give a damn. I think you're
waiting
sick
your
for
nickel.
Being
gay. You called an 800 line, sir.
You're sick for being gay.
You called an 800
that's
line,
wrong
sir.
To begin with, but
Lee, I appreciate your
run
family.
Your mouth
but
and
I,
talk.
If I felt your children were dirty, I'd tell you. I mean, why can't you appreciate the gift I'm giving you of honesty? If
you're just a sick pig. Kids get dirty. You were dirty as a child.
Yeah,
you
but
got
you don't
dirty. Your mother had to watch
that
you.
Way.
But I mean, geez, it seems like you act like somebody should be walking around just falling at your feet and kissing the ground because you're gay and you're a journalist.
I'm a gay man.
Guess what? People have rights.
You don't have
the right to walk around and talk like that to
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. You're right. People do have rights. But I am giving you
no,
the gift
no
of honesty.
No, there's no but about it. And there's no but about it. And you're not the person who's so special as to walk around and insult people and their children.
I'm courageous.
I mean,
I came up to you
to walk
and
up and
I
tell
said,
my grandmother she was pathetic. She'd drop you to the ground, too.
I think many of these old people need to be told they look pathetic.
I don't think you've got the stones to stand up and be a man.
I have.
You want to walk around and be obnoxious and rude.
If I said to you, you need to shave that mullet, you'd be angry.
I don't have a mullet.
Well, you're a liar, because I know...
You can't call him a liar.
Oh, come on. You don't have a mullet.
Hey, bud, I got a crew cut. I haven't had a crew cut since I got out of the Marine Corps.
All right, Lee, let me ask a question of Doug here. Chapter 10 of your book, you walked up to a woman with a douche.
That's correct, yeah. Phil, I'm giving her the gift of honesty. You could smell her...
Oh, my God!
Well, I'm...
Man, you just need to be in a hospital somewhere. You're really a very rude, obnoxious, nasty person.
Look, I'm a gay man.
I mean,
and a
you
gay
want
journalist.
you want to approach a woman with a douche? You know, it sounds like you're the person that needs the flushing because you're full of it. Thank you. I've had my say.
All right, Lee. Thank you for your call.
Well, sir, you don't wear a mullet because I think that's a lie.
Well, hold on. 1-800-449-8686.
I said Home Depot is having 50% off on bidets. And they suddenly said to me, and they looked at me and said, you know what? You know what we're thinking. I think, Phil, the beauty of the book is many of the people that I approached know, they know that I knew what they were thinking.
All right. Doug Danger, author of Tough Love, Observations of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist, our number 1-800-449-8686. Colette, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Okay. Wow. This guy is the most obnoxious creature I've ever heard of in my life. And
well,
I don't
sure.
care if you're a gay man and a gay journalist. I mean, you've said that 10 million times in the time that I've been listening
that's
to
the show. That's the title of my book.
That's great. Wonderful.
I'm
I don't
gay.
Have anything against people being gay or anything like that, but
you know,
I do have
I am
against...
gay.
Hold on for a second. Shut up and let other people talk.
You know, I didn't
no,
tell
no,
you to
no,
shut
no,
up.
No, no,
I don't
like no.
anybody telling me to shut up, especially a Canadian.
Oh.
And it,
well, wait a minute. How do you know she's
what?
From
you know,
Canada?
Here's the difference. Canadians would be too polite to walk up to somebody else and say the crap that you are saying to people.
But, ma'am, I'm trying
you're called
to help
a woman, you. You called a pregnant woman, fat pregnant woman. Hello? Maybe being homosexual, you have no appreciation of the beauty of pregnancy.
Oh, I do. My sister is pregnant right now. She's
did
lovely.
Did you call her a fat pregnant woman?
No, because she is entitled to have that baby. But some
everybody's
people...
Everybody's entitled to have a baby.
Ma'am, when I see a yuppie couple walking down the street with the throw-up bib on their shoulder and the woman in the jumper, you know, I think it's the height of dishonesty to lure a man with sexuality, then have a baby and look like a fat pig in a jumper for the rest of your marriage.
Oh my God.
And are you an Adonis? Let me ask you that.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. What do you think?
I work out.
I think you're a big jerk. Now, that's what I think.
All right, look at Doug. To walk up to a woman with a box of FDS, hygiene spray, to walk up to a guy and suggest that he... And one of these things, you actually said to someone that the guy ought to lose the woman he's with. There's better-looking women in the bar you just walked out of.
What I'm saying, Phil...
That, don't you understand that just sounds like a crude slob?
No. What the two of you don't understand is this. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I have courage.
I think we've heard that enough.
I have the courage to give people the gift of honesty and to point them in the right direction.
It's not courage, it's rudeness.
Look, if children want to know whether they're ugly or not. Children want to know whether they're ugly or not. Their parents aren't going to tell them the truth.
Oh, my God.
I do.
You go up to a child and say you're ugly.
Do you think the parent's going to be honest with them and say, oh, you're really good looking? Yeah, a lot of good that does when they finally go into high school and
you know
people
what,
say
Phil?
You look like somebody put your face out with a
you
track shoe.
You know what
shoe.
I'd like to say?
Yes, ma'am.
I think that the people that are saying, he's telling us that 90% of people agree with him.
Yes, ma'am.
I think that they're just probably afraid to say anything because they think he's a psycho.
Well, you say in this chapter of your book here that you said to a kid, have you ever heard of Clearasil? And he said, thank you, because I was wondering about that and my mother lies to me.
That's right. She said, you're a handsome boy. And all he wanted to know, do I have freaking zits or not? And I said, kid, I mean, you need a can of that stuff.
All right. Thank you, Colette. 1-800-449-8686. Would you appreciate it if a stranger came up to you and told you the honest truth about you being pregnant, you being how you look, how you dress, whether you should have children or not? Doug Danger did that. He says, as a gay man and a gay journalist, he has the honesty to do that, and he's written a book about it. We'll be right back with Doug Danger on The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger is with us from the Orange County Courier, and we're talking with him. Now, you're out in front of a movie mall, Doug, right now?
That's correct, Phil. I'm Tri-6 is let out, and this is an example of what we've done for our book.
Now, Doug wrote the book, Tough Love, Observations of a Gay Man and a Gay Journalist. You're talking about coming up to people and honestly giving them appraisals of themselves. You mentioned going up to a woman and saying she's had too many children, another woman who shouldn't have a fat kid, a man who, you talked to a man who was overweight as well, et cetera, et cetera. So you're going to do this for us on the air?
Well, I'm looking at people coming out of the theater. Hold on. Hi. Hey, man. All right, here's a lady here. Man, that's the worst looking wig. That's the cheapest looking wig I've ever seen. What? I said that's the cheapest looking wig I've ever seen. You had chemo. She says she had chemo. That's no excuse. That's no excuse. All right, that's an example.
Well, that sounds to me like you're making fun of people.
No, Phil. What I'm saying, I'm confronting them with their vulnerability. I'm confronting with their failures. That woman has chemotherapy. She ought to know that she's going to need something more than something off of a styrofoam-headed May company. She's got a cheap. Oh, here comes a kid now. Can I borrow your teeth to chop down a tree? Can I borrow your teeth to chop down a tree? You look in the mirror, lady? Yeah, that boy, that's about a 12-year-old boy. He's got a buck teeth.
Wait a minute. How is it tough love to say...
Hold on for a minute. What? I said, can I borrow your teeth to chop down a tree? Because you got buck teeth, right? Visit a dentist. Jesus Christ.
How is that loving to say to a kid...
Because, Phil, children relate to humor that way. Children relate to humor.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go to some phone calls. Vanessa, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yeah,
hi,
go
I'm
ahead.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. No, I'm just kidding. That's you. I wanted to say you are hilarious because you are just trying to sell books. And anyone
you need to turn your radio down, Vanessa. Turn your radio down, Vanessa.
Okay.
Vanessa, I just want to know, you can't be that bright if you had your radio turned up.
I can't be what?
See? You didn't hear me, did you?
I actually think you're a comedian. You know, well, you're just trying to sell your book, but anyone who's calling in and all upset.
Now, what a brain surgeon. I'm trying to sell my book. Of course I'm trying to sell my book.
Yeah, you're a comedian. Your
is
book
that
should be filed under fiction.
Is that
book,
is that
is your book fiction?
A revelation that I'm trying to sell a
fiction?
Book?
Is your book fiction?
No, these are events that actually I like you. I could
you're hilarious.
I could do something to you.
I'm from San Francisco, and...
you what?
I don't think you're actually a gay person or a gay journalist. I think
you're because
just
you
a
lived
comedian.
In San because you lived in San Francisco and you had sex with a lot of gay men. Is that it?
Yeah that's it. Yeah. Well, anyway,
how'd you get rid of the AIDS?
Say good luck.
All right.
Good luck selling your book because you're probably going to do really well from this.
Well,
radio. Good strategy. Good
and by the way, I've noticed you've already had enough to drink,
right.
Vanessa. Okay.
Bye bye.
Server coffee.
Okay. 1-800-449.
All right, hold on. Here's somebody right here. Ever been to euthanasia? Ever been to euthanasia?
Who is that, Doug?
It's an elderly couple. Hold on. Have you ever visited euthanasia? Oh, they've got a special on it. Yeah.
Doug.
Yes, Phil.
What does that mean, telling an old couple, have you ever been to euthanasia? I mean, you're mocking their age and telling them to euthanize themselves.
Phil, again, by responding with humor. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I know what I'm doing, all right? Now, hold on for a minute. What happened to your face? What happened to your face? What happened to my face? My face is fine. You look in the mirror. What happened to your face? You make a freight train take a dirt road. You make a freight train. Yeah, your mother too. Piece of crap.
Are you getting into fights with people? Or are you helping them?
No, that's an example of somebody who cannot confront the reality of their lives.
You just said to somebody, say, what happened to your face?
Yeah. Hold on. Excuse me, man. Were you ridden hard and put away wet? Were you ridden hard and put away? Okay, she didn't hear me. But most of the people who hear me...
What are you criticizing about a woman who is ridden hard and put away wet?
Well, her skin is bad. She looks like she doesn't take care... Are you a goalie for a dart-throwing team? Because your skin looks like that. She's just come back here. Hi, what's your name? I'm Doug Danger. I'm on the radio. Were you a goalie for a dart-throwing team? She's walking away.
I would, too. It's the rudest thing I ever heard. Were you a goalie for a dart-throwing team?
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ryan, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello?
Yes, sir, Ryan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to tell this this guy, I mean, who the hell does he think he is to actually, you know, it's not tough love to go talk to somebody and just say, you know, oh, sorry,
right.
You know, you should have an abortion,
right.
Or, you know, go talk to movie people and try to tell them, like, all of their faults and their flaws through the eyes of this gay journalist. I mean, I'm a student of journalism myself, and one of the things about journalism is fair and balanced. You know, here's this guy just giving his own opinion about everybody. You know, that's not fair. That's not tough love. That's being a tough, you know, a tough dick. That's
well, no, I'm trying to be. I'm trying to tell people the most honest thing. Right, hold on. Is that a tale? You happy to see me?
How is that tough love, what you just said to that person?
Because I'm trying to say to them, this is a fault that you have, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've got the guts to say it. Just because you've got all these straight listeners who haven't got the guts to do this, Phil, doesn't mean I'm wrong. See, that's the thing you won't say.
I'm straight doesn't mean that I'm going to go out and I'm just going to be abusive to people and go try to, you know, destroy their self-esteem. I mean, what's giving the benefit of the doubt? Maybe the fat kid has diabetes. Maybe the lady who's pregnant or, you know, who's really fat from her pregnancy, maybe she had complications and she can't do anything about it. And for you to jump on the back,
maybe, and
say,
maybe not.
You know, this is me telling you, you know, what a jerk you are.
Maybe and maybe not. I've been out of the closet for the better part of a month. I've learned tough love, all right? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And look at this. Here she comes. Is that a basketball? Oh, you're pregnant. All right. See? You see that? And she's smiling. She's laughing.
Is that a basketball?
Yeah. She's laughing. You're not pregnant, are you? You're just fat, right? That's what I thought. See? See, a lot of these women who wear those dresses, Phil, a lot of fat women wear maternity dresses, and it disgusts the living hell out of me. It ought to disgust you, sir. It ought
to
disgust...
I mean, just because this lady's fat and you know what? You just need to, like, take some, like, manner lessons or something, because you're not going to get anybody to buy your book just for the shock value. I mean, you're going out and just, like, totally discriminating against these people.
Hey, Ryan,
that's not tough love. That's being a jerk.
Let me ask you a question. What is your ancestry?
My ancestry?
Yes, I'm just curious. What is it?
We're from England and from Switzerland.
Can I get some shade under that nose?
No, I don't have a big... Wait, no, I don't
Can
have
I get
nose.
Some Sorry, shade under that nose?
Yeah.
Sorry, Doug.
Sorry, man. That's more Italian.
My ass.
That's Italians.
Okay, is that where you're from? What?
Where am I from?
Yeah.
I'm gay.
Okay.
So
great.
What do you need to know?
Well, I mean, do your gay partners come to you and tell you all the bad, like, all the horrible qualities about you? Or are you just, like, God's gift of honesty to the world?
I like to think that as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I'm the only real honest person out there.
And because all the straight people, all the straight journalists aren't honest?
Yes, because they're gutless.
Because Bill O'Reilly isn't honest? Because Hannity and Combs, they're not honest?
They're homosexuals. I got no problem with them. What I'm talking about are the straight people who don't have the courage. Ever been to euthanasia?
Euthanasia is not a place to go to.
There's some old people.
You've been killing small children.
Euthanasia?
Sorry.
Been to euthanasia? You know where euthanasia is? Yeah, you need it, too, you old piece of...
Oh, my God. Listen, thanks a lot, Ryan.
Yeah, he gave me the finger. Yeah, to you. Back at you.
All right, Doug, good luck.
Hey, old man, are those sideburns or a ferret resting on your cheek? Hey, old man, are those side...
All right. 1-800-449-8686. The book is called Tough Love, Doug Danger, Gay Man and a Gay Journalist. It's The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And then Ann Coulter told me off the air, because we had Ann Coulter on. She stopped by to watch the show, which we're very happy that she did. But she didn't know she was going to get involved in some conversation with me about politics. She didn't know she was going to be talking to my dumbass about stuff. But I tried my best for God and country. Anyway, she told me off the air that Fox lawsuit against Al Franken, she says, is the stupidest thing you clowns over at Fox could ever have done. Because it's given Frank and all that publicity. And she said it was actually because of that big foreheaded guy who thinks he's God's gift to broadcasting. The one with that horrible radio show. Oh, my God. I mean, the cat ain't bad on the TV, but that radio show of his, whoever syndicates that show, you guys ought to get out of the business. Just get out of the business, man. I mean, why don't you go into the business? Tell you what, the good humor man needs an assistant on my street, okay? You can be pulling popsicles there out of the... That's kind of in the entertainment business. I think you guys start out there, work your way up. Ann Coulter, nice lady. She stopped in to watch us do our funny voices. Good-looking woman, too. We got to keep all these good-looking Nazis out of here. Otherwise, I can't be responsible for what happens. Fine-looking girl. Anyway... Roseanne Barr's shows have been canceled. This in entertainment news. Roseanne Barr had a couple of shows that have been canceled. One was a reality show. I guess we're all supposed to be interested in her life because she's a celebrity. Kind of like that Butterhug, Anna Nicole Smith, and like that poor, poor Ozzy, and like the rest of those megalomaniacs that they think their lives are so bloody interesting. We're going to turn on our TV sets and watch. I've said this for 3 years and nobody wants to listen to me about it because, you know, well, who wants to listen to me? I've said for 3 years the only reason why Ozzy Osbourne's show is interesting at all is because of Ozzy. Not because of Sharon, not because of her drug addiction. Son, not because of her fat little daughter. It's because Ozzy is funny. Ozzy's interesting. Ozzy's the cat we remember. Ozzy's the guy who we went to see in concert. Ozzy's the only one we care about, okay? So, Sharon, your TV show, and by the way, I want to get you on my show, too. I'm not afraid of you because that hairdo. If Ann was doing another talk show, I got to keep her out of here. Otherwise, I'd just have to, I'd have to hire her as my concubine. My goose-stepping concubine. Wouldn't that be great, though? So, you're a conservative, huh? Well, yes, but get on the floor. Well, I said to get on the floor. All right, now, Roseanne Barr has, see, her life, and Roseanne, let me say something. She's not listening. I'm speaking out loud. If she were actually listening to the show, give it up. Go home. Take your money and go home. No more TV. You had a great run as Roseanne, the TV show. Everything else you touched has turned to the Hershey squirts. Just give up
and go back home with all of that wonderful money you've made, hard-earned money, I might add. If I were you, what I would do is I'd go to New York and take some acting classes and get on stage, do some off-Broadway. You know, if you want to be an entertainer, I mean, you're really serious about being an entertainer, get out of Hollywood, man. This is not where serious entertainers live. They live in New York. They do off-Broadway. They do theater. They learn the craft from the ground up. They learn the blocking and the intention and the character and all of that. And you know where this all started, don't you, baby? You know when it all started. When you grab your crotch at that national anthem, man, it all just started going downhill from there. I know. You were trying to mimic the ball players, and you were very controversial. But you know what? It made you the flavor of the month rather than what you wanted to be, which was the next Jackie Gleason. I mean, the female version of Jackie Gleason, and it never quite panned out. Get out of here. Just go away in the name of God. Everything you're touching now smells like something that came out of a cat's rear end. If I were you, I'd go back to Iowa or Nebraska or whatever crap can you came from and just sit there and suck your thumb and think about what could have been. Just take your money and blow, okay, baby? If you know what I mean by blow. I mean, I don't mean anything cruel by it, but for God's sake, we're tired of being inundated with this stuff. By the way, Sharon Osbourne with that talk show, since when do I need to listen to a woman whose kid's in drug rehab? What has she got to say to me? Hey, all four of my kids are not in drug rehab, Sharon, so what does that make me? I guess I'm the executive producer of your show. Okay, she's got the talk show because her son is currently strapped to a gurney in a clinic somewhere out in Indio. And my kids are healthy and are actually on the honors list at school, and I'm struggling for every nickel. What sense is there? There is none. That's fine. It's like Robin Williams. Robin Williams is a damn good actor. Wouldn't you agree with that? Good Will Hunting. We all saw it. We all loved it. My favorite movie, personally, Good Morning Vietnam. Funnier than hell. His stand-up, me personally, I'm just talking personally. His stand-up sucked because I saw Jonathan Winters do all that shtick much, much better. Slower, more methodical, funnier than hell, more in character, not popping in and out of character, not, making all of these idiotic, like you didn't rehearse, like it's all off the top of your head, like it ain't funny, and it wasn't. So then the cat, suddenly it starts to blow for him, so he goes back and does stand-up because somebody said, hey, Robin, why don't you go back out, because it'll help you reinvestigate and reinvigorate what it is that you is. And he went back out there, and people said he looked bored stiff. He's checking his watch in the middle of another stiff joke. He's up there at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco, and he can't wait to get the hell out of there. And how much money you pay to get into that joint? Do some movies and then go home and shut up. And that Sizemore, I hope they put you away for a long time, you slob. Well, that's been our entertainment report. Good night. I'm John Tesh. I'd love to have Tesh and... What's her name? That heart? Who's the one with the teeth? Hey, can I borrow your teeth, Mary? I'm chopping down a tree. Mary Hart. How'd you like them to just lay that out? Hey, tell you what, you slob. There's entertainment tonight. Oh, that's right. I'm Mary Hart. In a moment, Phil Hendry borrows my teeth to do some brush clearing. All right, number two. Arab World's version of American Idol has a nationalist bent of vehement fans. Dig this. And you thought American Idol fans were excitable. They've got nothing on the millions of Syrians, Lebanese, and Jordanians backing their national favorites on Superstar, the show's knockoff in the Arab world. See, this is what we talk about, and this is what nobody seems to get. American culture, which is America, which is the American government. See, the American government is only there to serve American culture, which nobody around the world gets, is popular in the Middle East. They say death to America. They don't mean it. They don't even know what they're saying when they say it. But you can't give these people a show like American Idol. You can't take an American show with certain limits and beautiful... You can't turn it over to a bunch of sweating Syrians. You're going to have it in a airplane hangar. You can't have it in a studio. You got to have it out in a barbed wire fenced-in soccer stadium. It doesn't come out the same way. You don't give them a beautifully crafted piece of art. You know what they do to Ryan Seacrest? If they put Ryan Seacrest in the middle of Superstar, they'd rip him to shreds. I mean, they would rip his body apart.
I'm racing. You just see him getting sucked down into a mob of sweating Syrians. And the next thing you see is something that looks like a side of beef with a pair of shoes and a haircut. You can't give shows like this to them. They don't know. They're just they're sweating, seething Arabs crammed into their alleys, waiting for the next mullah to come along and extort money from them and cheat them out of another bunch of money and give them a lot of bullcrap about Arab nationalism while they're hungry and the mullahs are all riding off in the limousines, in the Mercedes-Benzes with their woman in a bag. I mean, these poor people. Do yourselves a favor, folks. Just move the hell out of there, okay? I tell you what, something better. We'll give you Ryan Seacrest. I think he may smooth the operation out for you a little bit. Either that, or he'll get rended. He'll get eviscerated like a sheep. Phil Hendry Show. Sorry the show was so violent today.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.